The world's economic institutions are starting to price in something very uncomfortable, that America's inflation problem may not be a temporary shock. Instead, it might be the beginning of a much bigger structural problem. So just a brief disclaimer, this is not financial advice. I am not a financial advisor. I cannot tell you what to buy, sell, or do with your money. But what I can do is read the data, and the data this week shows three of the most important economic institutions on Earth all arriving at the same conclusion independently. On Wednesday, the European Central Bank raised interest rates for the first time since 2023, hiking to 2.25% in direct response to inflation driven by the Iran war. Tomorrow, the Bank of Japan begins a two-day meeting that is expected to produce a rate hike to 1%, which is the highest since 1995. And this week, the World Bank published its latest projections, forecasting the weakest global growth since the pandemic. So three institutions, three decisions, and one shared assumption. The inflationary chaos coming out of the United States is not temporary. It is not going to be resolved by a social media post announcing a deal that collapses within 48 hours. The rest of the world has stopped waiting for Washington to fix itself. It is now making permanent structural decisions designed to survive whatever Washington does next. My name is Elle, and I use data analysis to spot patterns in geopolitics and economics. And before I get into the numbers, I want to acknowledge something this audience has been saying in the comments for weeks now. The Iran deal cycle, Trump announces progress, Iran denies it, markets bounce, the deal evaporates, repeat, has become the boy who cried wolf of international diplomacy. This channel covered it the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, and every time the audience's response has been the same. We are tired of this. So am I. The deal cycle is not even the story anymore. The story is what the rest of the world is doing while the boy keeps crying. And what the rest of the world did this week is raise interest rates, project the weakest growth since 2020, and quietly prepare for an American inflation crisis that has not yet fully arrived at the consumer level. So let's start with a number that matters the most and that almost nobody is really discussing seriously. U.S. consumer price inflation, the CPI that gets reported on the news, came in at 4.2% in May. That is high, it's above target. But U.S. producer price inflation, the PPI, which measures what companies pay for inputs before they set consumer prices, came in at 6.5%. Core PPI, stripping out energy entirely, is running at nearly 5%. That gap between 6.5 at the producer level and 4.2 at the consumer level is a ticking clock. It means American companies are absorbing enormous cost increases right now, rather than passing them to customers. They are compressing their own margins because they know that the moment they raise prices, consumer demand collapses. But margins only stretch so far. When companies finally pass those costs through, and they always do because the alternative is insolvency, headline consumer inflation could fly past 5% by July or August maybe. The inflation shock Americans have experienced so far is the opening act, but the main performance has not even started. If you've been following this channel's coverage of the US economy, this is the inflation part, the one where the data tells you that what you have seen is not even the worst of it. The European Central Bank's decision on Wednesday was the first rate hike since the tightening cycle of 2023. Eurozone inflation climbed to 3.2% in May, driven primarily by the energy price shock from the Iran war. The ECB president, Christine Lagarde, she is always so well-dressed, by the way, knows exactly what higher borrowing costs do to economies like Italy, Germany, and France. It means weaker industrial output, fragile consumer confidence, elevated energy bills, and now more expensive loans on top of all of it. Well, she hiked anyway, they hiked anyway, because letting inflation run unchecked is actually worse. Lagarde described the decision as robust across all scenarios and explicitly said this is not an insurance hike. It is a monetary policy decision that stands on its own merits. Europe is taking the medicine. It is bitter, but it is medicine, not poison. Because the disease it is treating was imported from Washington through an oil price shock created by a war that none of Europe's leaders agreed to. If you try to understand how to read through bank decisions and see what the structural dynamics underneath actually show, my book Awake: The Practice of Critical Thinking in an Age of Self-Reliance is available as an ebook and audiobook. Subscribers get 10% off, and you can grab the first chapter for free in the description links below. Next, let's talk about the Bank of Japan. Its two-day meeting begins shortly, with a decision expected very, very soon, possibly today or tomorrow. Polymarket shows a 99% probability of a 25 basis point hike that would bring the rate to 1%, which is the highest since 1995. This channel covered the Japan story in detail just a few days ago, the $2.2 trillion in US assets held by Japanese investors, the $29.6 billion in treasury bonds dumped in the first quarter alone of this year, the carry trade unwinding as Japanese 30-year government bonds approach 4% for the first time in a generation. Every basis point that Japanese domestic yields rise reduces the incentive for Japanese money to stay in the USA. The capital is already moving home, and today's decision will accelerate it. The World Bank published projections this week forecasting global growth of just 2.5% in 2026, which is the weakest since the pandemic year of 2020. That projection assumes oil stays around $94 a barrel. Oil is currently above 110. If the Iran war continues, and there is no credible evidence that I've seen that it is ending despite what gets posted on social media, the actual growth figure will be materially lower. And into this environment, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is reportedly considering seizing Iranian frozen assets, approximately $100 billion held across various accounts globally, and distributing them to Gulf allies as war damage compensation. Iran has been very explicit. Those frozen assets are a baseline condition for any deal. If Bessent touches that money, Iran walks away, the Strait of Hormuz stays shut, oil stays elevated, PPI stays above 6%, and the CPI time bomb ticking inside the American economy detonates on schedule. Every country watching will draw the exact same conclusion they drew when Russian assets were frozen in 2020. Dollar assets are not safe if you cross Washington. More money moves to gold, more reserves diversify away from treasuries. The buyer base that Bessent needs to fund $900 billion in borrowing by October shrinks even further. Every institution that acted this week or will act, the ECB, the World Bank, and today, Bank of Japan, did so in the assumption that American inflation is structural, not temporary, that the war is not going to be ending anytime soon, I think, that the deal announcements are just noise, that the boy has cried wolf just too many times for anyone to come running, and that the only rational response is to just protect your own economy from the damage, even if the protection itself is painful. Europe hiked rates knowing it would hurt its own industry. Japan is about to hike, I think, knowing it will trigger capital repatriation that destabilizes American markets. The World Bank published a growth forecast that reads like a warning label, and none of them waited for Washington. None of them asked permission. None of them believed the deal was coming. In terms of what's going to happen next, the prediction is that the ECB will hike again before the end of the year if oil remains above $100. But once again, not financial advice. Don't change any of your positions off the back of this. The Bank of Japan, I think, will hike, and Japanese institutional selling of US assets will likely accelerate past $100 billion annualized by the autumn. U.S. consumer inflation will likely breach 5% by August as producer cost pressures finally pass through to retail prices. And the structural gap between what the American president announces on social media and what the rest of the world's central banks actually do with their interest rates will likely continue to widen because central banks read data, not social media posts. And the data this week says the same thing in every language: brace for impact. But the Bank of Japan's decision could trigger the largest repatriation of capital out of American markets in modern history. I made a separate video on exactly how that mechanism works, the $2.2 trillion at stake, the carry trade unwinding, and why Japanese money is coming home. That's the video that I would watch next. Thanks so much for watching this one. Subscribe, and I'll see you all on the next one.